Welcome back to New Rockstars Debrief, the show where we go into all the stories that you might have missed this week in the world of nerd. I'm Eric Voss, and joining me today are Philip Molina.
Hello, as things I say.
That's one of them. And Sam Basher.
Hey, goodness, I better myself, Philip. Back to you, Eric.
Oh, I'm at home now. Today we're talking about a major Avengers Endgame theory, some Captain Marvel news, and a Howard the Duck series that's coming out. Ooh, this is an exciting week. A lot of fun stuff to talk about.
There's so much more interesting stuff we're talking about this episode than just that.
But, you know, you got to hook them with the weird, right? Yeah. That's, you know, now you're watching. Now you're listening.
Howard.
Oh, and by the way, you can help the audio version of this episode. Some of you may be listening to the podcast version of this.
Yeah, how's that going so far? Hopefully you're listening on the Himalaya app. You can also listen on the Apple Podcast app, wherever you get your podcast. In LA, obviously, it is very important that you have your podcast situation down because we get a lot of time stuck in our cars.
You schedule
and
your commute
around
your podcast.
It's how we have Zen moments, so hopefully you're maybe listening to this during your commute. We don't mind if you're only half listening and half driving. No, fully drive.
Fully drive. That should be your full attention.
And fully listen, honestly, even if there's traffic. So we are used to doing that ourselves, so I hope you're doing it too. Let's get started.
And
yeah, let's get started.
You enjoy.
Okay, so here's what we've heard this week. There's a big Avengers Endgame theory going around, and it's pretty spoilery. So if you don't want to know anything about Avengers Endgame, you should have stopped listening or watching by now. So bounce out and then come back to us.
So one person is running out of the shower, like trying to grab a towel, trying to run to hit pause.
Yeah, put your full attention on your shower, please. It's very slippery in there.
Hey, okay, but that's enough time for spoiler. Yes. Shower boy.
Enough vamping. Here we go. So there was a Lego leak. And as we've said before, guys, the answers are in the toys here, right? The toys have all kinds of weird stuff.
Been saying it.
You've been saying it since Legos existed. All throughout the Lego movie. You ruined that movie for so many people. So here's what it shows. There's a picture of the Avengers confronting the Chitauri.
Chitauri, remind everyone.
Okay, so the Chitauri, if you don't remember, they're the hive mind mercenary army that Thanos gave to Loki to invade Earth with. And that's what they were fighting in the Battle of New York. And we haven't seen the Chitauri since then. The Chitauri showed up in a flashback in Avengers Infinity War when they were conquering Gamora's planet. But this is a group that he worked with, and it all ended with the Battle of New York. The Chitauri was done.
They had one, but it was all covered up by a face. It was the one that was messing with Nebula. It was like, but they never showed the face because they didn't want to show those. Right. Horse face people again.
And these are also the ones that have those dope ass like sine waves that they ride.
Yes.
Oh, the Leviathan kind of things. Yeah, whatever those are called. Now,
Roly poly olies.
Roly poly olies is a technical
term. But just
rolled
out.
Yeah. People have speculated for a while that we may have been revisiting the Battle of New York in Avengers Endgame. I know we've made a couple of videos touching on that.
That it's possibly going to have time travel. Yeah. It's not even necessarily news that it could go back to the Battle of New York.
Right. We've seen some set pictures maybe that look like they're restaging it. But with this Lego set, it's like another form of confirmation. We're putting the pieces together that, this is where we could be going.
What exactly is the theory as to
why they're
doing it?
Well, here's the theory that people are starting to buzz about now. If the Avengers could get back to the Battle of New York through time travel, and there's a lot of different ways time travel could be feasible, either through the Time Stone, through Time Vortices, and the Quantum Realm. Yeah, you know, there's all kinds of ways that we've talked about, but if they are able to get back there. Remember, there was that wormhole that led in the Chitauri that the Space Stone created.
Right.
It was a rift through space-time, at least through space, because it's a Space Stone. If they could go through that wormhole the way Iron Man briefly did to throw the nuke at the Chitauri army, what if they were able to go through that wormhole and then go confront Thanos before he's able to get all the Infinity Stones? Fight him on his turf, maybe.
Kill him, baby Hitler, before he grows up.
Exactly, before he's prepared to fight all of them. It's kind of cheating.
Mm-hmm. time travel is a form of cheating.
Yeah, like let's get him before he knows that like we know everything about him and his whole plan.
Yeah, I mean Thanos is kind of an almighty deity figure at this point, the Mad Titan. He has. Conceivably, he might already know that they're going to be doing this because the six stones should give him almost omnipotence.
Maybe.
That could be something that, he's going to pull the rug out
from them. So he'd have to stop them before they travel through time. But let's say they do it. Here's what's really interesting. They successfully stop him then. That's got to have ripple effects throughout, all of Phase 3.
Oh, right.
You know
yeah,
I mean?
It's going
like,
to rewrite
like
the
all
timeline.
All the things that Thanos has done, I feel like we should kind of go into those, right?
Right. Okay. So looking back at the timeline, what has happened since the Battle of New York, right? So the Avengers have gotten hold of the Mind Stone. It's what caused all the drama in Age of Ultron. Created Vision. That's what Ultron was trying to get his hands on. We didn't know at that point that it was the Mind Stone that was established after the fact, after the Battle of New York. So if they're able to interfere with that, maybe Thanos... Maybe the first stone he gets his hands on his quest is the Mind Stone rather than getting the Power Stone, I believe, was the first one that he got in Avengers Infinity War.
Yeah, the purple one from Guardians of the Galaxy.
Right, yeah.
Right, but he already had the one he gave to Loki.
Right, he did have that one, but then he lost it through the attack.
So just, I guess it depends on, like, how badly he's stopped right then, because he would have already had it. I guess Loki would have it. You said Power Stone.
Right.
So... Do we get original Groot back?
Oh, the original Groot?
Yeah, or something like
that. Interesting.
Is that
I'm waiting for super-sized, super-powered Groot, which would be kind of fun as well. But I wouldn't mind getting original Groot back. He's my favorite so far.
You know who else I think we'd definitely get back is the Collector.
Oh, yeah, because Thanos...
Very recently.
Well, is the Collector dead? We don't know what his fate is. There's a fake version that was alive.
It implied that he killed... like a planet's worth of people to go get that stuff.
Right,
because
nowhere's
enormous, right?
Yeah, but you see the Collector there, but then he's only part of the projection of the Reality Stone, so we don't see where he went. That was all part of the projection, part of the trick to lure in Gamora and the other Guardians.
Speaking of someone else.
Gamardians.
why the Gamardians? That's another person that would probably be back, right? Gamora.
Yeah, for sure. There. Oh, yeah, good point. You know, you mentioned Phase 3, Philip. There's this long, like, running theory that whole weird time jump in Spider-Man Homecoming was not a mistake. Remember in Spider-Man Homecoming, we saw the Battle of New York and then it said eight years later,
right.
Which would be impossible because the Battle of New York was set either in 2011 or something.
Like 2011 or it 2012,
should have been,
right?
Yeah, it should have been 6 years later. Right. No more than six years later. But some people are thinking that was intentional and there's going to be some kind of timeline meddling in Avengers Endgame that retroactively fixes that.
Like as Doctor Strange is like reuniting the timeline, he like drops 2 years back and whoop.
Yeah.
Well,
oh, there we
8
go.
8 years later.
Yeah.
I feel like... Yeah, we could make that work. Like right now, I think that might be a little bit of garbage, but I feel like you could make that work. I don't know about like totally doing the time travel band-aid for like fixing this kind of mess. I like the idea of getting into time travel shenanigans and then having to fix them. That's always kind of fun in stories.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Back to the Future 2. Stopping what Biff got up
Replaying
to.
Replaying events. Yeah, those are all
spoiled
fun.
That for you. Sorry about that.
The existence of Back to the Future 2.
There you go. but no, I don't know. It feels like the repercussions kind of get like way too like lofty. It's like, if we can do this, couldn't we just like get everybody back forever and ever? Couldn't both War Machine actors be back in this?
Yes, I could. You look like me. But you know, we're both big fans of the idea of like they just have to go to a different universe and let half the people just always be dead in that original one. This actually doesn't necessarily negate that because this version of time travel is the kind where it's like, oh, they can go back and change time and then it'll have a ripple effect and repercussions in the future. But there are theories of time travel where it's like, great, you created a new branch.
Yes.
And so this branch, you guys fixed it and it's never going to happen. And the original branch is still out there and there's still half the universe dead.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. No matter what it is, hopefully it's harder for the Avengers. Time travel shouldn't make things easier. Whatever new technology they have or new cosmic influence they have to change the timeline, whether it's going through the multiverse or going back in time, whatever complicated thing you want to do, memory version of time travel, unstuck in time, it should make things way harder for them. Like it should be even more challenging for the Avengers in Endgame. Otherwise, it's less interesting. Otherwise, the stakes feel lower in a way. It feels too easy.
Okay, I just got something from our producer. Producer, by the way, she held up a very large card that had a very interesting point on it. Captain Marvel. Captain Marvel was only brought back into the fold via the pager at the end of Infinity War.
Yeah.
If the pager doesn't happen, how does Captain Marvel get back into the fold?
Right, yeah, she needs to be part of this somehow. Whatever the new timeline is set, I mean, we also are forgetting time travel is something that supposedly is one of Captain Marvel's abilities, according to a Sam Jackson leak in an interview.
You just keep saying stuff that doesn't make any sense.
Yeah.
Yeah. So this would need to be a version of the time travel that is on a different timeline rather than a fixed loop, because if it negates her entrance into this world, then yeah, then she can't be.
I want to discredit what he says, but then he did spoil Red Skull. He did do that.
Yeah, he's got a track record for his spoilers being accurate.
Well, I guess let us know what you guys think about this theory. It sounds like a pretty, like, of all the theories you've had, it's probably one of the most possible.
Interesting.
For sure.
Yeah.
It's definitely interesting.
It would explain a lot of things, and still also would be very fun, very Back to the Future too. Let us know what you guys think. But let's move on.
Yeah, we have our weekly trivia question. So as always, we
voice
crack.
There's a dying air horn.
It's a bear calling for his mother.
That's so sad. Is there a bear mother in this, Macy's? Your cub is at the makeup desk.
He sounds normal.
Ma'am. So here's the question. As always, we ask this question. We'll reveal the answer at the end, and the loser will have to draw some from the gift of shame. But our question for this week, which comic book superhero was originally created by a major toy company? Okay, all of our answers are here in the bucket.
Sam broke the gift of shame box.
Okay. Didn't touch it.
You can't even
didn't put my hands on it. Okay. Didn't touch it.
It's Travis made it for us. We're going to put it back together. I think it's fine.
Yeah. Like all things.
I know it's fine
because
I didn't touch it.
Yeah. Okay.
I didn't touch it.
Man, so, Philip, you were kind of alluding to some news that we want to get to in a second about Captain Marvel. But first, we want to shout out our friends over at Ridge Wallets. What? Thanks to Ridge for sponsoring this episode. Guys, if you find that your wallet gets bulky and just kind of stupid, and you, especially when you have to like sit on it and it hurts your back.
Legitimately, I have to pull this out of my seat out of my seat. I think that's what I call my butt.
Yeah.
I have to pull this out of my back pocket every week when we do this show, because it makes me like sit too high on one side.
Yeah, you're like George Costanza. You
get
back
sore.
Gives you scoliosis.
Yeah.
Well, this is why you should think about getting a Ridge wallet. You did. Look at this. A Ridge is a minimalist front pocket wallet. You know, I've been watching a lot of that Marie Kondo show, and she's been, you know, sparking joy, and she's been thinking a lot about how much stuff that I have. Yeah. And this wallet has definitely helped. I don't know about you guys. It's helped me streamline what I carry around
with
me.
It's so much cooler than other wallets.
Yeah. You just carry like the cards that you need. I'm not going to show you guys my license and information, but you carry that and your cash. And you just push it out, and you're sleek.
Everything you need, yeah. And it doesn't make a big like bulge on the side of your leg.
There are no bulges in your pants.
Yeah. Not a bulge in sight.
Yeah. Well, it's also, check this out. It's like modern. It's cool looking. It's kind of futury. It can be made out of titanium or carbon fiber or aluminum. And it's RFID blocking, which is great. So you're not gonna have anybody accidentally steal your credit card information.
Or you just had your identity stolen.
I just had my identity stolen.
No way.
So I'm done with that. It's helping me out a lot. And it's lifetime guaranteed. It's the last wallet you ever need to buy, really, because, you know, it's lifetime guaranteed. It's a great
deal.
Human
lifetime?
Yes.
Oh,
yeah.
Great.
Yeah.
Whoa, dope.
Okay, so here's the deal. Get 10% off today, guys, with free worldwide shipping. All you have to do is go to ridgewallet.com/newrockstars. Again, that's ridgewallet.com/newrockstars. You can use our promo code of newrockstars or click on the link in the description of this episode. Yeah.
Thanks so much to Ridge Wallet for sponsoring us. They make it so we can do this show.
Hey, and send us your favorite pictures of you with your Ridge Wallet.
I would like to know. You're gonna look way cooler.
Hi, everybody. I'm Katie Segal.
And I'm Kurt Sutter.
And welcome to our new podcast called Pi, People, Influences, and Experiences.
Yes, it's sort of the get to know you at a deeper level. The who, what, when, where, and why you are, rather than what it is you do.
Absolutely. We're not going to talk too much about what people do. We just want to know about their families, where they come from, you know, what shapes their parenting if they have kids, what shapes their marriages if they're married. We just want to be really nosy. We want to get in there.
A deep dive into nature and nurture.
And we started it because there are a lot of people that we don't know that we are curious about.
Right. And I have no friends. So for me, it's, you know.
Trying to get them out of the house.
Listen to it on whatever you listen to podcasts on.
Yeah, podcast, homecasts.
Your podcasting apparatus. Watch it on the YouTube.
He's aging himself.
Yeah. But right, Philip, to this, what you
thought. Yeah. So earlier when we were talking about Captain Marvel being the one that would still have to be pulled in some way, seven picture deal, guys. Did you hear about this?
Ooh, what?
Go wait, on.
Okay, Brie Larson has signed a seven picture. That's what they used to call movies back in the day,
oh,
right? Before they moved, it was
the talkies.
A picture. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Now, a seven picture deal to continue playing Captain Marvel.
Wow.
Seven movies.
Wow.
So I thought it'd be fun to try to guess what seven movies those are going to be. I'll say that three of them are probably freebies, right? I'm going to say Captain Marvel. And then Endgame. And then I'm slightly going out on a limb and saying Captain Marvel 2.
Yeah.
Whoa.
Assuming
pretty ambitious.
Yeah.
But there are a bunch of other Phase 4 movies that it could be. There's, you know, Far From Home, the Black Widow movie.
Right, yeah.
Which, what do they put out a name that have, like, Jelly Bean or something?
Well, Blue Bayou is its
Blue
working
Bayou.
Title. Yeah,
Jelly
yeah.
Bean.
Oh,
but
that's its working title.
Black Panther 2, Doctor Strange 2, Guardians of the
Galaxy
3.
All the sequels that have been confirmed. Yeah,
so it could be any of those. Could be a different one.
Yeah.
What do you guys think?
Well, this is it. Seven picture deals, huge.
Seven. That means she's probably the star of the phase now.
Like, Chris Hemsworth has appeared in a total of seven MC movies, right?
Only
he said three.
Seven?
He said three Thor movies, three Avengers movies, and then a fourth Avengers Endgame. Yeah, so that's seven. He's not even in seven yet. So they're already committing to seven for Brie Larson. So, yeah, I think they're assuming there's going to be a Captain Marvel trilogy, which I think is a big assumption. Like,
well, here's the thing. It's the Iron Man trilogy replacement. Is my guess.
So does this mean Captain Marvel's being set up to be the new Iron Man, the team leader?
Yeah, that's what we've been kind of like thinking about, pondering for like the past couple months, which is it seems like a good get. Also, just like thinking about like for her sequel, since it's Kree based and you're talking about like aliens have invaded Earth. Honestly, and I know people are gonna say poo-poo in the chat or in the podcast notes, Inhumans. They're directly connected. She has a lot to do with the Inhumans, and I know Marvel tried
just
real hard to
over.
Make... Huh?
Do it over.
Do it over. They wanted mutants real bad, but now they got mutants, and so now you can play with a few of the Inhumans.
Yeah. This could mean a Secret Wars movie, too. The Russos have said after Endgame, the movie that they would most want to do is a Secret Wars movie, which brings in the Skrull, which could potentially bring in Captain Marvel that way.
They could also end up in some sort of... like, I don't know, battle with an Eternal or something. Like, say there's time travel in Endgame, and then at the end it's like, well, you can't do that without consequences. And now, you know, I don't know, Kronos or someone like is like going to be set up as this new villain. And then she kind of is doing, you know, her space fight and not so much ground level stuff.
Can I say this might be a bit premature to...
Seven movies?
Seven movies is insane. That's like assuming that not just Captain Marvel as a movie will do well, but that Brie Larson will be the reason
and
for
to be
it
clear,
doing
she
well.
Can't do any other movie. She can only do these seven movies.
Yeah.
No, I'm kidding. I don't know.
Well, that might be the case. Seven pictures, that might be
honestly,
non-exclusive.
It's just the amount of time.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like,
that's a long time.
That's going to be her 20s or 30s.
I mean,
the question mark.
We might not get a whole trilogy. Like, as successful as Black Panther was, they aren't already committing to a Black Panther trilogy.
True. Yeah.
They committed to a second one, which I don't even think has been officially announced yet.
Yeah, that's crazy. They signed her to seven pictures, and the first one's not out yet.
Yeah.
Yeah. It could be a bomb. I don't think it'll be a bomb. It sounds like there's a lot of positive vibes coming. I'm excited for this movie. I think it'll be great.
I will say it's not getting as much like excitement, but neither did like Doctor Strange before it came out, and that one did fine. So.
I think it's because they put it so close to Endgame. Mm. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, I think everyone is like, man, Endgame's coming up, and then we saw Captain Marvel billboards, and we're like, whoops. We forgot.
Yeah, this might be a sign to investors, too. Like, they want to show after Endgame, don't worry, some people may be dying off, but we have a future in store. We just signed a seven-picture deal with this big star.
State of the Union of Marvel, just set up Phase 4 and just kind of be like...
They did that at, like, the El Capitan. They went, like, through, like, their roster of
movies.
Yeah, I want to see the roster. Why aren't they showing us the roster yet? Right? I feel like for Phase 3, maybe it's because after they did it right before Age of Ultron, and people are like, well, I guess we know these characters are surviving.
They do time travel, but they turn back into kids, and then all the movies are Avengers kids.
Baby Avengers.
Also,
young
Avengers.
Yeah, they don't want to get away.
But in the comics, she's led two pretty popular teams, the Ultimates, which is your ultimate version of the Avengers, which, when it was kind of like, your universe reshuffling storyline, they popped up with the Avengers, and they were like, you're more like kind of grittier super team, and they're like the crazy... OP heroes that are flying around space. They don't need a helmet. That's how cool they are. Also, she leads Alpha Flight, which has now been kind of relegated to planetary protection from space and giant space station.
Mm-hmm.
I've been waiting for a giant space station in one of these movies, like a Justice League, like Watchtower kind of thing.
Yeah.
I would that's like Marvel's current answer to that, and I'm a big fan of that. More space adventures, more cool space tech. I'm on board with that.
Yeah.
You just want more Legos.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Oh, it's a giant
Lego
space station.
It'd be so cool. A lot of glass pieces you can peek inside.
Well, you're a child. It's confirmed.
I am.
Sam Child confirmed. Well, yeah. Sam Childly, tell us about what you've heard this week about.
Oh, please and thank you. Well, we actually got some details that came out about the Disney Plus series centered around Loki, which is pretty exciting.
Ooh.
Yes, they've announced a showrunner, so buckle up, boys and girls who are listening and watching, because their new showrunner will be Michael Waldron, a Rick and Morty writer who also worked on Community and Harmon Quest, and The Hollywood Reporter dropped this little quote. Sources say the show will follow Loki as the trickster and shapeshifter pops up throughout human history as an unlikely influencer on historical events. Huh. That sounds pretty dang sweet. So I don't know. We're going to get some time-traveling adventures. I don't know. Loki killing Jay. Hey, I don't know. He's a bad guy.
Loki was on the grassy knoll.
Yeah. He's a bad guy. He's shapeshifting. Who knows? It sounds like a very high concept and cool, but like, there's a lot of questions. What do you guys think initially from this quote?
That's interesting. So he's the god of mischief, right?
Yeah.
So it's just like kind of going back and explaining like, whoopsie, Hindenburg explosion.
It sounds awesome. And it doesn't have to be time travel. Like, even though time travel probably maybe be introduced in Endgame, it could be like he was just there.
Well,
the guy's
time
ancient.
Travel makes sense. Yeah, you're right.
He's always been there.
Yeah. And I know I've heard rumors that he's actually maybe just going to narrate it, and they might have a different actor play like a younger version of him or something. Just a rumor. But it would make a lot of sense if it also explains the character is currently dead. Again, we don't know if time travel could undo that, but even if it's not undone, if it's a retrospective in his dying moments, he's having these thoughts, you know, or something about these memories, and that's the show. That's really cool. But I actually really kind of think it'd be fun if they do the whole like revisit history, even though it's like a little cheesy to see people play like, you know, how many times have we seen different actors play Hitler or something?
Or Albert Einstein.
Yeah, exactly. They play a silly version of Einstein or something. You know, they do that on CW Weekly. But I think that if they do it with stuff that's like maybe just a little less known, a little less cheesy, like even though this is still insanely huge, I'm probably going to butcher this story, but I'm remembering so Archduke Ferdinand assassination leads to World War One, and if I remember correctly, the assassin failed and was not able to kill him, and then for some reason the Archduke was like, I think like, oh man, I almost got killed, I'm just gonna hop into this pub and get a drink about that, and the assassin was there and killed him there.
So it's we see the alternate version of things,
Loki
but lead
have been
to the,
like, hey, you want to come in for a drink? You know, like just these these quirky stories.
You know what?
Sounds
like it tonally sounds like Quantum Leap, right? Like,
yeah, but like Quantum Leap. Evil Quantum Leap.
Scott Bakula going back in like to these famous historical moments, but like by playing the person, he sets the timeline back to the way it should be historically. It's not like he's altering timeline events. He's
but
just
again,
there.
He's making them bad in the Loki version.
Personally, me putting on Disney hat for a second and being like, maybe don't have the character that's bankable, like setting up murders that started like world wars. It's interesting, but a big popular thing happening right now in Thor comics is flashing back to when he was a young boy and he's playing around on Earth with like the Vikings and whatnot, and you're seeing him fight monsters and you're seeing him like having to stop threats. So seeing Loki possibly getting into trouble with other Norse monsters from legend and whatnot, that could be pretty interesting as well, because I feel like they still are trying to pivot him towards being like okay, because he's still part of like Thor's team of good guys prior to Thor 1.
Nah.
You want to see,
I want
to
see him. I want
World
Loki is the son
World
of Sam
War
killer.
Oh my god. Well, I think it should kind of bridge the gap. It'd be fun if he was like an anti-hero figure, and each time he wants to serve his own selfish needs or his desires,
maybe,
but each time he ends up actually doing kind
do
of a good thing.
Is a lighter version of Dexter, where essentially he's not getting someone killed, but it's killing them. It's more someone gets their comeuppance, you know, and he caused that.
Interesting.
Right. He helps a serial killer get caught. Or he, trying to help a serial killer, he screws up.
He gets Nixon taken down or something. Yeah. But it's like through mischief still.
Yeah, I like your thought, Philip, on less obvious, less famous historical events, because you're right. We've seen, you know, the Lincoln assassination. We've seen Hitler in the bunker. Like these kind of things we know. But if it's like, the XYZ affair in which the French insulted the new American Republic and caused some major trade problems.
Oh.
or
who,
yeah.
Who is the spy in World War II? She's female, she's French, and she was like known as like one of like the biggest. She kind of used her sexuality to kind of like get secrets over to the Allies.
We don't know her name, and this is why this needs to be an episode of the show.
There's a very popular, close. But in the comics, there's a very popular run where Loki's a woman, and that could be kind of fun, where you can have like kind of like some gender bending and whatnot. Also,
that sounds like a season.
There you go. But also, it's worth asking: do you think anyone's going to be time traveling with Loki or time traveling, but going along with his adventure? Because we know at least this point before Thor 1, he does have friends over in Asgard.
Go introduce another Asgardian that is also ancient and can do it too, instead of having to take like a reporter with him. And she's like, "What's happening?"
Well, I mean, this sounds like a great
that pitch.
Though. Yeah, it sounds like 100 episodes already set up right here. It sounds like a great concept for a show. Like, we know Captain America was around in the 40s. Maybe there could be some episode where he's dancing around the events of World War II and working with Hydra or things like that. You know?
I mean, legitimately, Quantum Leap was at its best. Maybe not its best. It's the favorite episodes about Quantum Leap, if you haven't seen it, are adjacent to his history. Mm-hmm. Right? So he does have the opportunity, for instance, in an episode to prevent JFK's assassination, but realizes that that's actually not what he should do, that actually in some ways was led to good things too. But immediately after, like, Vietnam becomes terrible because of it, and he transports there, and it's no longer about like, oh, Vietnam, it's his own brother is there and his brother's gonna get killed. And so it becomes a personal story in the context of Vietnam, rather than like, can he prevent Vietnam? Can he prevent JFK's assassination?
We are talking about some pretty high stakes storylines. How do you think they can keep the stakes going throughout the show, since we already know where he's gonna end up? Is it more about the situation? Because it's like, we do know how those situations end up as well. Or does it come back to possibly his supporting cast being someone that he cares about, and that's where the stakes
live? That's
live.
What it's gotta be, right? It's gotta be Loki Jr. is with him.
Loki
or something.
Jr., yeah. His child or something like that.
You have to do it in character development and relationships, right? Because if they can go back to these historical moments and introduce lesser known figures, people whose names we don't know, they can fictionalize them and make them up, and we're worried about whether that person's going to survive in history because we care about them so much. So maybe rather than like one episode at a time, because if you know it's going to be solved in an hour, so you might not care as much. But if you can introduce characters over the course of a season and you're worried that this character may not survive, or maybe we can spend 3 or 4 episodes in one historical event, get to know and love certain characters, and then we're worried about their fates.
And that's actually something, Sam, that kind of addresses your issue. So Loki will not feel disposable. He won't feel like he could be killed, but everyone else that he interacts with that is not famous could die that episode or in 50 episodes. You know what I mean? Like, if he has a love interest, for instance, she could die at the end of the episode or she could die at the end of the series.
Yeah. It's almost like a Doctor Who or even like Doctor Strange. Like, we're not so much worried about the fate of the hero because he's almost like outside of time and already escaped death. We're worried about the people he's trying to protect, you know? And if you can build some stakes around that, this could be a really great show.
I'm very excited to see possibly like a Victorian England episode. I'm feeling this
Jack the Ripper kind of thing.
Exactly. Yeah. That's what I'm thinking. Like him taking out all the serial killers throughout history.
Yeah.
Oh, he solved the Zodiac. Maybe. I'm listening to a podcast right now.
Isn't he already the senator from Texas?
Boom.
The one who's not Ted Cruz. The
other one. I know. It's like, why
senator
did you
John
not want to say
whatever
it?
Yeah.
But like on that note, what historical events, you've mentioned a few, would you want Loki to influence or have influence on in the Marvel Universe? Because also it's like Black Panther had us like realize like, yes, slavery did happen in the United States and globally.
Dark things have happened.
And so you mentioned like World War II, and it's like, we knew that happened, but it's also like we could disconnect because it's Hydra. You know, it's like, it's not the same thing. When you start mentioning like other stuff like that, it's like, oh yeah, like assassination attempts happened and stuff.
Yeah, serial killers, I think, is a smart way to go. There's so many dark ways to go with that.
The Cuban Missile Crisis sounds like ripe for a lot of mistakes.
Kind of similar to the X-Men First Class thing,
or
how close we got. Yeah.
The Bay of Pigs, just like because that went super poorly and, you know, could be the reason why or something.
Yeah, I mean, we've seen so much of 20th century history fictionalized or documentary fiction style in different like sci-fi and fantasy. I'd love to see Restoration England and the Civil Wars. There's so much backstabbing. It's what like Game of Thrones is based on so much, and all these like political intrigue, the War of the Roses. I'd love to see like a revisitation of that.
But it's not going to happen. The whole thing takes place only post 2006. Just like he ends boy bands.
Yeah. Heck yeah.
Yeah, he watched once and it really affected him. Trying to think 2006 references.
He'd do such a good job on Broadway. For sure.
Yeah.
100%.
Loki?
He would.
Low key, he'd be great on
that. And Hamilton and going back to the American Revolution. Yeah, that's what we want to see. Well, let us know what episodes you want to see from this. Do you like this idea? Do you want to see any particular historical event? Let us know in the comments below. But we had some other news that came out this week
Pretty exciting.
I want to get to you guys. So we got another update about the future of the Star Wars trilogy. A couple updates. But we know now that the producers of Game of Thrones, Benioff and Weiss, are making a whole trilogy of Star Wars movies. So
to potentially take over since the saga is essentially over.
Right, yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah, so
they also look like the Chainsmokers because I don't know what the Chainsmokers look like. Go on.
No one knows what the Chainsmokers look like.
Yellow teeth.
Yes. We also found out that Jared Leto's time as the Joker is most likely over, with the Suicide Squad sequel being more of a reboot. That's the one that James Gunn is doing. Mm-hmm. I know I got interested. Yep.
Wow, you had that. You didn't even need to really
locked
look.
And loaded.
It took me a while to pull it off. Yeah.
Also, there were plans of a Jared Leto Joker solo movie and news of a Jared Leto Joker Margot Robbie Harley Quinn story. There was going to be the Crazy Stupid Love directors or writers were going to produce that one, that kind of a rom-com version. Both of those have been scrapped.
Good call.
So there's really no future project with Jared Leto playing the Joker. So if you weren't fans of that, then good news.
I mean, I wonder what changed, right? Because, I mean, we've been saying it. You know,
It sounds like the whole, you know, the guy running the DC stuff at Warner Brothers, the head of Ken, whatever, is kind of rethinking the whole future of the DC. I think he's waiting to see how well Shazam does. There's some of these properties, like Aquaman was obviously a huge success for them. Wonder Woman 2 will probably be well, but the Batman's not coming till 2021. And any future plans for team-up movies have kind of been dialed back.
Yeah, honestly, maybe it's trying to cut the roots of that have been established and have a soft reboot. And it's like, well, we can't keep showing the old stuff.
Yeah, you know, and Jared Leto's going to be playing Morbius, it sounds like,
He's busy
right
now.
Which is a much
now.
Better fit, I think, personally.
In other news, we also got some details regarding a Breaking Bad movie at AMC. It'll be a sequel to the series, and it's going to star Aaron Paul's character, Jesse. And we're going to see where he goes after he drives off in the red car.
There you go. Also, it's premiering on Netflix, which is pretty cool.
That's great.
Also on Netflix and on AMC, I think.
Yeah.
Will his red Camaro tie into The Walking Dead, since that's what Glenn drives in an episode, and there's blue meth exists in the universe?
Walking Dead, yeah.
Probably not. But then we also got some other Star Wars news. There was a website, Super Movie Bros. They reported initially that Rian Johnson was no longer working on his previously announced Star Wars trilogy, but then Rian Johnson debunked this on Twitter. He said, quote, "No, it isn't true. I'm still working on the trilogy, with all due respect to the movie bros, who I'm sure are lovely, kind bros with good fraternal intentions." then they posted a statement where they fully apologized, and then Johnson was like, "Oh no, I'm." I love Johnson's other response after that, where he's like, basically gave the fist bump thing. He's like, "No, it's good. I know fan speculation and rumors make the whole thing more fun." And I think because we've had to go foot and mouth a couple times with our theories, with our speculation. So it's nice to know that the filmmakers support this kind of fandom, even when it sometimes casts them in a negative light, because I think that's what was going on there. And then finally, we got some news from Hulu. Hulu's getting deeper into the Marvel business. Now, they already have the show Runaways. It's, you know, a Marvel show about the teenage children of supervillains. But they recently announced four new animated shows, including a Howard the Duck series written and produced by Kevin Smith.
Yes.
And what are some of the other ones?
Oh, there's technically four other ones. One's like a little TV movie or miniseries. We're getting Howard the Duck. We're getting Hitman is Monkey. It's going to be like a noir-style series. It's animated in Japan. Pretty cool. Tigra and Dazzler is a team-up series from Chelsea Handler, and you're getting MODOK from Patton Oswalt, and you said Kevin Smith's producing the Howard the Duck series.
Kevin Patton Oswalt going to voice MODOK?
No, he's just producing right now, and it will lead to a team-up series called The Offenders, who are going to save Earth and certain parts of the universe, according to The Hollywood Reporter.
It's always got to lead to a team-up thing, right?
Course,
you're always got a Defenders or Avengers, everything. Yeah.
Big fan. Really excited.
So that covers all of our news, but now it's time for...
Ooh, it's time for... It's called the debrief now. Lightning round! You guys tweeted us questions, and I'm going to fire them at my co-hosts, who have to answer them as quickly and without hesitation as possible.
Wait, what?
Or they're killed.
Oh,
cool.
Ready? Down. Yep, let's do it.
All right, and here we... Lightning round.
Lightning.
It starts with me. At Claudie, one and and only, what unexpected couple do you think will come together in the last season of Game of Thrones? Ooh, Arya and a girl. I think they're just...
Oh, that'd be... Yeah.
I think it feels like it was going that way, yeah. Yeah. Eric, Like Daisies, best love scene of all the DC and Marvel movies?
Oh,
love scene.
Best love scene? The only one that's coming to mind is when Quill and Gamora kissed in Volume 2, right? Yeah, didn't they kiss? So they got close to kissing?
Yeah, so there's also that weird one with Quill's dad and his mom and the whole world.
Or they could say the weird one with the Black Widow doing the palm. Sun's getting real low. Pretty romantic.
Oh, that one's too X-rated for me. Sam, at Cappy Kid, who was your first comic book crush?
Oh, Starfire.
Rogue.
Starfire. Yeah, Starfire.
Philip, at Sensei I Am, if Bruce Wayne was introduced to the women of Marvel, who would he fall in love with the most? Bruce Wayne doesn't fall in love with casual women. If anything, it'd be a villain who is like good at the same time.
Black Cat.
Oh, well, that's cheating.
Yep.
Yeah, all right. Cheating.
Everything's cheating.
Eric, but all the women would be on him. At Andrea Clark 92, what does Thanos look for in his ideal romantic partner?
Being Mistress Death would be, right?
Oh, yeah.
Already being dead and being little, master little or mistress of death. Yes.
Yeah, and we learned last week Thanos means mistress. Sam, at G Noel, what's the weirdest romantic storyline you've ever read in comics?
Oh, no. Right now, Robin's dating a 3,000-year-old genie that looks like a 13-year-old girl, and we have to pretend that that's okay.
That's a lot better than the other ones you could have said.
I know. There's that's all that came to mind ones. Right now.
Yeah,
Captain Marvel's been through the ringer, and people have been mean to her.
Yeah. And people keep it in the family and others. Anyway, Philip, at Cloudy, one and only. Do you think Reylo will happen in Star Wars Episode 9? This is my, if you guys don't know, this is a character I mentioned named Reylo, who is a fun janitor who just cleans up after the droids. I think they'll find a way to get him in there. Reylo. Unless you mean, you know, Rey and Kylo, which I don't think so. Eric at Wowza HP, do you think they are going to give Captain Marvel a love interest in her film?
No. I don't. Cool. think it's going to be about that, and shouldn't be.
Yeah.
Not interested.
Yeah. Who cares? Yeah. Who wants one? This for everybody. At Fraudham, this is a very kind way to say this. Snog, marry, avoid. Cersei, Sansa, Olenna.
Snog, fancy, avoid. Two of those terms are not ones we use regularly.
No one said fancy.
Oh, I thought I heard fancy.
Yeah, I think, is that your answer?
Oh, no.
I'll snog that? Fancy. Okay, snog, marry, or avoid.
Snog, marry, or avoid. Which one's, who's Olenna again? I'm blanking.
Oh, she's the hot one.
Okay, marry, Sansa?
You'll marry Sansa, Mike.
There's Mary Sansa.
Uh-huh.
Olenna is snog and kill, avoid, kill, Cersei.
Cersei.
Oh, these made up names.
Yeah. Let's see. I would marry Olenna. It seems like she she cares about like the family bloodline and puts family values first, and she protects her own. Avoid Cersei. Gotta avoid Cersei, and then snog Sansa. That seems like an easy one, right?
I don't agree with that.
Oh, I couldn't agree with you.
Yeah, I know. I would marry Olenna because she's funny, and that's important to me over time. But then, you know, she doesn't have that much time left, and I inherit half of her wealth. Snog. Well, avoid Sansa, honestly, because, like, a little whiny. Snog Cersei because she crazy.
But she's not. You're not her type. I gotta be honest. She's got.
You don't need to be a type.
She has one type. Yeah. One type.
And that could be Philip.
Honestly, it looks a lot more like Eric.
Yeah.
Your type?
Yeah.
Or is that it?
Cersei's.
Is that all of our questions?
Yeah, that's all the questions. That was lightning round.
It could be a Captain Marvel love interest, right? I've completely blanked, but it's implied that maybe she and Peter Quill used to date. There's that joke in Guardians that we found that maybe they hooked up at one point. I don't know. If we did see a love story, it'd only be with Peter Quill. That's the only way I would care about
it. She also dated War Machine in the comics. That could work too.
There you go. Boom. Well, thank you for sending us all those questions.
Time for 15-second
shout-out. Oh, please and thank you, guys. This is my favorite segment of the show. Buckle up, because this is when each of us has 15 seconds to shout-out, plug, or ramble anything that they want. Sam, why don't you start? I'd love to. First off, I'd like to say shout-out to Darren Gerdner. He's an artist, friend, and roommate of mine who just dropped an EP called Lemon Grove. If you like fun tunes and hip-hopping, you can go ahead and listen to that. Also, I do a show called Only Stupid Answers. Now let's go to Eric.
Oh, on March 1st will be round two of Darkest Timeline Comedy at the Acme Theater in North Hollywood. We're having some special guests. Philip will be coming back. We have some other friends that I know from the Second City and UCB and Groundlings. It's going to be super, super funny, super, super nerdy. See you there.
Time at Philip.
Great. Earlier we were talking about Quantum Leap. There's an episode where he goes back and he hangs out with his little sister in like the 50s or something, and he plays for her Imagine, and he takes credit for that song. And now there's a movie that's coming out like that called Yesterday. It's got a really delightful trailer.
Yes.
Watch that trailer. I think that movie's going to be really fun.
Yeah. I'm very excited for that trailer. But yes, now it's another fun point in the show where we get the answer to the trivia question, and Sam usually wins. Eric?
Oh, yeah. Okay, so this is a question we asked earlier. The loser, as always, will have to... pull from our broken gift of shame bucket that we have
Sam,
to reassemble.
Philip, you broke that.
Sam.
Just to remind everyone of what the question was, which comic book superhero was originally created by a major toy company? So let's see what we said.
Oh, well, first up, we have Eric, who wrote Eric Cable.
Eric
he wrote both.
Cable?
He wrote Eric on both ends, so he didn't want
to.
He didn't want to lose any points.
I don't like people having to flip over. Yep. 10 points off if you don't say it, put your name on it. Philip said Plastic Man. Which is his only answer. He just said Plastic Man. And small subtitle he wrote, or He-Man.
By the way, Plastic Man's a wonderful penmanship. You have a wonderful penmanship.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. I've been practicing my Plastic Man signature for a long time. And Sam wrote Dazzler.
Well, I didn't look behind to see if it was a guy.
A lot of asterisks.
The correct answer is He-Man.
Wow.
So Phillip's second answer is correct. I didn't... I feel like all comic book characters are made for toy purposes.
To be fair, Dazzler was made by Marvel and a record company teaming up to create a pop star. Just putting that out there.
Yeah.
Okay, so judges, our winner this week.
But you didn't say boy.
Correct.
You said superhero.
She's just saying who is close. Or like that's not very close. Sam hasn't lost in a while.
I lost a lot before that, then.
Yeah. And Philip hasn't lost in a while.
What are you kidding me? I've lost almost every episode since we've been back. Also, I got it right.
Yeah.
Damn it. Yeah, wait, why are we talking about...
Okay, so Philip's winner. Who's our loser?
Sam.
Yeah. Okay. Okay,
Sam,
so our judges
he
have...
broke the gift of shame box.
I didn't do that.
But Definitely I fixed it. I'm a hero.
It
only I can fix it.
Didn't do it.
So our judges have decided that Philip is our winner, and he did write He-Man on his card, to be fair. Sam, our judges have decided, is furthest away. So Sam's going to draw from our Gift of Shame box. And
careful this time.
His stupidity as he does this activity will be turned into an animated GIF. If you're listening to us on the podcast, check out our Twitter page, at New Rockstars, to figure out what the heck we're talking about.
And use that GIF as you'd
use
like.
It.
And show us you using it.
All right, you guys give me suggestions for this one. I have show us what, quote, extra looks like.
Be extra. I don't think this is going to be hard for you, Sam.
Show us what extra looks like.
All right, fair warning. I pounded a full burrito before I got here, and it is not digested fully, so I'm going to be slow. Let's get going.
I don't know how the burrito is going to come into play with this, but I'm concerned. All right, guys. It's been a really nice week hanging out with you guys and my friends here. Apparently, Eric has other friends he mentioned earlier.
What? Friends? They're enemies.
Thank you guys for watching or listening to this week's episode of New Rockstars Debrief. I want to thank our other hosts, Sam Basher at Sam Basher, Eric Voss
He's
at EA Voss, Mod Garrett, come home soon, and me at Fimo. What is this?
I don't know. You just have to do it.
It's hitting me on all senses is what it is.
You're screaming. Also, why is this becoming Snagglepuss?
Look at Smigatron.
Exit.
I can't
All right.
Voices and you guys.
Reminder:
know that.
This is available in audio and video form.
I'm so bloated and sweaty.
I want to end Sam's gift of shame.
Why hasn't anyone called out that they're both wearing NASA shirts?
Why is everyone screaming? YouTube.com/NewRockStars if you want to see the video. You can get the audio anywhere you get podcasts, but please get in the Himalaya app because they support the actual podcast you're watching. You can leave comments on there directly, by the way. Comment Space. And tweet at us at NewRockStars, most places account. Like this video or the podcast. Share it around. Subscribe to New Rockstars for the deep dives into the stuff you love. I will see you next week. Sam, you get one more sound.
It's a baby burrito. And y'all...
Put that on your soundboard and play that when
it's
appropriate.
It's a baby
Goodbye.
Burrito.
It's a baby burrito.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's time for the Movie Trivia Schmodown.
I'm Christian Harloff.
I am Mark Baby Carousels.
We started the Movie Trivia Schmodown back 2014.
The Schmodown, as we know, we got a little bit of a WWE flavor to it.
You get 8 different questions from the Movie Trivia Schmodown Galaxy. Patreon question. This one comes from Jake the Hammer.
The Wheel Round.
You're kidding me.
This is why we play the Schmodown.
What the Movie Trivia Schmodown is all about.
Star Wars inner geekdom teams.
Singles. Celebrity Schmodown. Get ready for it. It's going to be something.
Then let's get ready to Schmodown.